Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 28th, and perhaps the really big news story today is that OPEC has agreed to at least a cap on how much they are. At least, perhaps the best way to say it is that they have reached an agreement. What that agreement is that they're going to stop increasing their supply. But of course, they're already at a record production level. Nonetheless, the oil price has responded really very favorably, and it was up $2. That has been a shot in the arm to shares like Exxon or Chevron, which had been right. In fact, Exxon had already pulled back below its moving average. Chevron was right there in the region of it, so was Royal Dutch Shell. They absolutely needed an upward dynamic, and they got it today. So that's rather encouraging from that perspective. And that did follow through into the stock market, where the S&P 500 reversed an earlier decline to finish up on the day by about 0.5%, and it was led higher by those energy shares. And of course, energy represents a very large market cap sector. So the fact that we have seen the reversion to the mean, we've seen this corrective phase overall in those shares, that is rather good news for the stock market overall, because I think that there's still a lot of people looking at the S&P or the Nasdaq with some trepidation, because we've been through such a lengthy and volatile trading environment over the last year and a half that I don't think that people really trust that this breakout is going to be sustained. But provided that these indices are trading above their respective 200-day moving averages, well then we have no evidence to the contrary that this breakout is going to be sustained. It was a relatively positive day as well, broadly speaking, for commodity producers, not least because of that decision by OPEC. So the Canadian and the Brazilian markets were both up in excess of 1%. And then when we look at the wider commodity complex, the industrial metals were also a bit firmer in here, and copper continues to rebound from that $2 area on the COMEX contract. In the precious metals today, gold was down a tad, down about $4. Silver was up a little bit off its low. It was as low today as 1897, but closed out today closer to 1925 and up very slightly on the day. It is continuing to hold an incremental progression of high reaction lows within this range. It continues to look like it's a consolidation, which has taken the form of a reversion to the mean. And it really then, to confirm that hypothesis, it would need to sustain a move above 20, but there is nothing yet to suggest that it isn't eventually going to succeed in doing that. The European saga continues to unfold, and there are news stories left and right offering conflicting news about whether the German government is willing or able or wants to or is planning to bail out Deutsche Bank. And considering that Deutsche Bank employs 100,000 people, I think that the answer is pretty clear. There is no way the German government is going to let Deutsche Bank fail. They're probably a bit reluctant to bail it out because of the political fallout that they would get as a result of that, and not least because there is this extraordinary fine from the US government hanging over the company. But Deutsche Bank was in positive territory today because they're selling assets in a rather desperate attempt to try and remain solvent and to try and to remain outside the hands of liquidators or a sort of a government-enforced solution. And because the banks were a bit firmer in here today, we had a somewhat firmer tone on European indices. And the FTSE was up about 2/3%, and the CAC and the DAX were up a bit more than that. And it really is worth drilling down into the components of some of these indices, because what we can see very clearly is that the shares that have international exposure are really outperforming. And that's as true of the FTSE as it is of both the CAC and the DAX. Adidas and SAP, Siemens are really outperforming the DAX, outperforming the wider market. But the kinds of companies that are leveraged to the domestic economy within the Eurozone are telling a very different tale indeed. And that is most particularly the case for the banking sector, because I remember doing this analysis a couple of years ago, trying to find Eurozone banks that have got international exposure. And there were only two. It was BBVA and Banco Santander are the only two Eurozone domiciled banks that do more of their business outside the EU than inside it. And that means that the primary growth avenue that all of those banks really went after in the after the creation of the euro was to expand within the Eurozone, and that has left them in a rather difficult situation. When we look at what the catalysts potentially are, obviously with this problem, not just in the German banking sector, but also in the Portuguese banking sector, in the Italian banking sector, the fact that that France is really, it is questionable whether they are going to meet their deficit reduction targets. And then, of course, you have the presidential election in both France and Germany. The potential is that we're going to have an election in Italy if Renzi fails to get his referendum passed. So, and then, of course, the UK is biding its time and preparing for when it should decide to begin its negotiations. And of course, the smart move would be to wait for what is going to happen in Italy, what's going to happen in France, and use that as a timing tool in order to begin negotiations. And it is worth remembering that countries have interests, not friends. And despite the fact that you have these close economic and political ties between right across Europe, that is perhaps not the most advantageous way for countries to start thinking at the present moment, which is, of course, why the Europeans are so panicky. In Eastern Europe, what we are clearly seeing is that despite you have all of those worries in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, well, a lot of those smaller countries did not join the euro, did not join the EU until the 1990s, and in some cases didn't adopt the euro until well into the 2000s. So, in large part, they have been able to avoid some of the worst excesses that really contributed to the sovereign debt crisis. So, because they have either pegged currencies or have adopted the euro, they get ECB interest rates, they get access to abundant capital, and they are outperforming by a substantial margin. When we look at countries like Bulgaria, where they just started the first country ETF, or Croatia or Slovenia, or up in the Baltics, all three of the Baltics, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, are outperforming by a quite a substantial measure relative to some of the more established Western European markets. When we look at Asia, the Nikkei today was down by about 1.3%. It continues to experience resistance in the region of that 17,000 level, and it really does need to sustain a move above it to really confirm that demand is back in the driver's seat. It is interesting that the second section index has moved to a new high, and I think that is it's a new high for the year at least in here just this week. So that so often leads, it would suggest that it isn't all just about the yen, but that the internal dynamics of the stock market may be a bit better than it looks like on the surface, particularly when the Nikkei has had such a volatile trading environment over the last year. Then, when we look at China, China's not that far off from getting special drawing rights at the IMF and internationalizing the renminbi. And their timing for achieving everything that was required would suggest that China didn't go after all of this, these special drawing rights and reserve currency status, because it was not in its interest. It's most particularly in its interest because they've picked the time when the currency would naturally begin to depreciate. And China needs a weaker currency, and a weaker currency is justified considering that growth has slowed down. So then they also get lower borrowing costs because of that reserve status. So they get to borrow more money from abroad. And what that also helps to do is to diversify risk. And just from, just in exactly the same way that an insurance company diversifies its risk by basically selling the exposure abroad or to other companies, that's exactly what China is doing. That by internationalizing its bonds, it's diversifying its risk, and then in a weaker currency as well. And because it's a reserve currency, it'll be able to issue debt in its own currency. So it's not going to have the problem that other countries might have had with exchange rate volatility. And the CSI 300 was down a bit in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. It's a rangy environment overall, and I think it is also worth remembering that it is a state-sponsored rangy environment overall. The last thing they want is volatility, and they don't particularly want to see the market surging higher like we saw last year. Elsewhere in Asia, it was a pretty mixed performance, and I think that while the respectively the currencies in ASEAN have steadied up somewhat, they do have a bit more work to do. But what we've seen is that the Indonesian market in particular has been really quite firm of late. And then we do ha that's a great example of a country where there is improving governance. And it should benefit from better commodity prices, and I think that could be true for a number of those countries. So they also represent potential upside potential over the medium term. And then when you kind of take a step back and you look around, then it really is Europe is the problem child here, and that it is Europe where the epicenter of risk is right now, because in the absence of all these problems in Europe, the rest of the global market looks to be reasonably healthy. And I think with that, it is worth considering that these bond prices were a little bit weaker in here today, and the we have seen a reversion to the mean in terms of the yield. Then yields pulled back from that mean, and they really do require an upward dynamic. And the even though bond prices were a little bit weaker in here today, that is not enough to question that the trend, at least the short-term trend of yield compression. And in the currency markets, it was a generally quiet day overall, and perhaps the biggest beneficiaries of OPEC's announcement have been the commodity producers. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.